Hey everyone, welcome to Games Overboard. It's PJ, and this week we have a special episode for you. It is a follow-up interview with Jason Blake, designer of Seismic, which will be hitting GameFound later in May. So, without further ado, join Angie, Dan, Shanna, and I as we talk with Jason Blake, and enjoy. All right, so everyone, we are here with Jason Blake, designer of Seismic, and doing like kind of a follow-up interview, especially with Seismic coming back out on GameFound right now.
That's right. Yeah, this is really exciting. Yes. So PJ and I have been talking about this game amongst ourselves like since we talked to you the last time, just going, God, I want the game. I need to play this game. This looks so fucking awesome.
Yeah. I've been like telling everyone I can about it. Even people who aren't gamers. Yeah. Like I told my friend Jared, who lives like 2 hours away from us. I'm like, there's this game that's insanely expensive, but I'm going all in on it, and I have permission to go all in on it because I need this game.
That is awesome. Yeah,
I feel like I need I need the permission because I want it actually.
Yeah, because you want the button.
Exactly.
Right.
You do not give her the button. Oh my God. That is dangerous. And I don't think we're Darkwing Duck.
I'm taking the button.
So for anybody that got the Darkwing Duck reference, thank you.
I did, actually.
All right! And so, now I got the theme stuck in my head. Great. I'm my own worst enemy.
It's a good theme song.
It is a great theme song. Anyway.
I was thinking, first off, we could just start with, for those who didn't hear our last talk together, like if you want to introduce yourself and what Seismic is.
Yeah, sure. So as you guys already stated, of course, my name is Jason Blake. I, several years ago, back in 2017, I started working on an idea for a board game. I was kind of looking at all the different games in my collection. I didn't see really this idea that I had that I, you know, really wanted to do. And I always said if I saw it, I'd just stop working on mine. But nobody ever made what was in my head. So there's a problem with that, right? So I started working on my my own design. The game was, I worked on it probably 6 months or so, took it to my first convention, and at the time it was signed. And I was like, hooray, I signed my first game. And then the publisher just kind of sat on it for like a couple of years. It didn't do anything. Mm. And then,
he's keeping it warm for you. He's keeping it warm.
That's right. You know? Yes. It was cooking.
That's right.
So, incubating. I actually was, the idea of self-publishing was never really in the cards. I mean, it was just one of those things where I was trying to, you know, just saying, oh, here's my first design. Hopefully somebody likes it. And I had a different publisher who was interested. And I kind of, you know, was having that go. We had a good conversation. Things were going along. And then we basically decided the game was probably just outside their wheelhouse. And so then I had another conversation with another publisher who was also ready to go. And that was in December of 2019. So about a month or so later, when we were about to about getting ready to sign papers, everything, you know, the whole world fell apart. So
yeah,
right around then, my wife just said, you know, she said, why do you keep going to all these other people? Do it yourself. So that's where I was. And of course, last year, you guys remember, I did try to launch the game on Kickstarter. Yep. In April of last year. Things were very strange. The market was very strange. A lot of companies had, you know, suddenly either went bankrupt or they were asking for all this extra money, and people you know, it was a disaster. The whole industry, particularly crowdfunding, I say the industry, but you know, the crowdfunding arm of the board game industry was a total train wreck at the time. There were probably at least three major companies within like 30 days of me launching that had all basically come out and said, sorry, no games. So, you know, and lots of people, I mean, you know, thousands of people had lost, you know, hundreds, if not more, of their dollars on crowdfunding projects. So, of course, what happens, here I come with a, you know, this massive board game, and nobody's ever heard of me, and I did all my homework, did everything I was supposed to do, and people are like, oh my God, that's very expensive, but I just lost that, you know, that much money, if not more, on all these other projects. The other very strange thing, and this is still to this day so bizarre, Kickstarter had a glitch in the in my campaign specifically, and apparently I'm not the only one. I've seen it happen to others. But there was a glitch in the campaign where my campaign in the database of Kickstarter was a null value. And anybody out there who's a techie will understand that a null value is literally just as if it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So my campaign page existed, but it was not searchable on Kickstarter. It was not searchable even on Google. Still to this day, if you search for Seismic Kickstarter, zero results, nothing. And if you search literally for any other title Kickstarter, you know, from anything that's ever been on Kickstarter, it is literally the first link. So the only way that you could get to the Seismic Kickstarter last year was by a direct link, either from my social media or from an email that you might have gotten at the time. So all of the traffic, all of the exposure, all of the things that, you know, that I had worked so hard and was trying to get everything ready to go, just, you know, imploded. And so technically I did fund, but of course, as you know, and I'm just transparent more than ever these days, as many of you know, the idea of funding on crowdfunding is really just almost to the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah, right.
I technically funded based on, you know, the rules of the crowdfunding world where you put, you know, I can make a dollar. I can make my game for a dollar. I need $1 and I can make this game. It's all nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
These individuals that, you know, post their games for $5,000 or $10,000 goals, I can tell you, just because I've been down this road, there is no hope in hell that anybody is producing Candyland for $10,000. Okay, it is unbelievably expensive to make a board game.
Hey, that's some pretty expensive candy. That shit.
Playing with real candy.
Playing with real candy. Exactly. I mean, we got flakes of gold in that fucking thing.
That's what I'm saying.
All the fanciest nuts.
My dining room table is Candyland right now.
Oh,
if you want to go have
yeah.
some.
It's just a small section. It's like a neighborhood of Candyland.
A suburb.
So yeah, suburb. They're still very affluent.
Three children, two very excited grandparents.
Oh,
and,
God.
And Easter Bunny, who forgets that we have excitable grandparents.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, I'd rather have that than the birthday turtle, which is what I got growing up.
Oh, the birthday turtle.
I've been hit by the birthday turtle.
Yeah. So
they always try to murder on the grandparents.
Dan, feel free to elaborate on the birthday turtle.
Okay, the birthday turtle.
Well, at least you didn't have the birthdays taken away.
That's right. Well,
that would be me.
That was this one. My father always took his birthdays away, usually because he laughed at him for something.
Yeah.
Oh,
His favorite one was when my dad fell down the steps. He laughed his ass off. You laughing at me? Yeah. You got your birthday taken away. Oh, that was pretty funny. Like, yeah, it was.
Birthday turtle.
So the birthday turtle. Focus. I'm sorry, ADD. I'm coming out of work where I had to be focused the whole time. So the birthday turtle, when it was your birthday, you didn't always get your birthday present on time, you know.
Oh, hence the late.
Hence the late birthday present. Like, hey, it's my birthday. Yeah, sorry, kiddo. The birthday turtle didn't show up yet. He's running a little late like usual, but he'll be here soon. And then, like, a week or two later, like, hey, the birthday turtle arrived. Here's your present. Like, all right, yeah, the birthday turtle showed up finally. You know?
You had a Christmas turtle a couple of years
ago.
We did have
a Christmas turtle a couple of years ago. Instead of getting what I was supposed to get, my dad went, hey, here's the receipt. I went, awesome.
We've done that a couple times.
Where's
in my
the present? It's in the mail. Uh-huh. Like, cool. I'll get it.
And the
one
time
day.
And date on the receipt was 5 minutes before he handed it to me.
Thankfully, it wasn't. It was actually a full month, but they were just that backed up. So it's like, yeah, that's better. I'm okay with that.
Well, you never had the birthday Christmas, right?
No, not like
your birthday's
others.
In July.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, Christmas in July, but anyone who does that, why?
And my birthday is very early January, and every parent knows that you have wasted all your money on Christmas.
You only get one. You either get your birthday or you get Christmas. And
it
God save you
terrible.
If you're Jewish. Hanukkah? I don't think so.
Although you're down to like 8 presents then. So like that's actually probably a better... I should be Jewish, not Catholic, because Christmas with me, since meeting his mom... Like, I am the new Deb Hayden. Our
it's a
Chris,
lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
We were supposed to go small this year because we're going to Disney, and we took a picture of the Christmas tree. Although that's a shout out to Timu. Timu made Christmas happen this year. But no, my birthday is very early January. So if I got birthday presents, it was the 90% off stuff from Walmart.
Oh, God.
And it's obviously Christmas. So my mom one year got me. You were there for that. I think we were dating.
It was
the 90. And it's all the 90% off like sticker, too. This is when Walmart still put the stickers on things, not just like put the sign up. And it was a Christmas sugar cookie mix. And it had an apron, and the apron was green and red, and it had a reindeer on it. And the cookie set came with two different metal cookie cutters. And she put it inside one of her old Tupperware containers. Like, it wasn't even a brand new Tupperware container. God. And she goes, well, I know you like to cook, so I got that for you. And I'm just like,
you need to be plugged in.
All right, thanks, yeah. Mom.
Like, I love you, Mary Reindeer. Come
yeah.
On.
The colors you like green and red. No, Mom, I like blue and black, but it's okay. Thank you for getting me a present. I appreciate it.
Did I real quick before we get back on topic? Did I tell you the Rice Krispie thing in my family?
Oh, God.
So I'm the youngest of three boys. My oldest brother is actually out towards you in Texas. And for the longest time before he moved out, it was he would get Rice Krispie treats from my aunt. This is the youngest aunt in the family. Rice Krispie treats. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my brother loves Rice Krispie treats. And then the next year it was, oh, well, I couldn't make them homemade this time. So here's the store-bought Rice Krispie treats in a box and packaged, you know, individual wrapped. Oh, okay, that's cool. And then it got even worse, and the last iteration was, here's a box of Rice Krispies, here's some marshmallows, go wild.
Add your own butter.
Add your own butter, you do the rest. And now it's a joke. It's a joke.
Put it in a box that said some assembly required.
That's right. So the joke is now when my brother isn't home for the holidays, we always send him out a care package of, you know, Middlesworth barbecue chips, stuff he can't get out that yep. way, and then a box of Rice Krispies and a little package of marshmallows just for him.
Thank God.
Love it.
So...
Now we have to send him Middlesworth potato chips because he has no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, so...
Middlesworth barbecue chips. Like, they're a PA-only company, and they're good.
You can actually go on to their website and order some. I was going to do that, but I never had the money when I was in Los Angeles. Go figure, right?
We need your address.
And we'll ship you some.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
My family lives in Texas, too, and that was whenever we sent our Christmas presents, we would put, like, the Weekender bags of Middlesworth barbecue and regular because they liked both. That was our filler to hold the box, you know, everything safe in there. Instead of buying, like, the peanuts and stuff, we'd get the chips instead.
So I do have, like, a really big question. Let's get back on topic.
Sure.
So you're using a GameFound this time, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I've never heard of GameFound before. How long has this been around?
Really?
Yeah.
He's new to the hobby. Yeah. So.
Really?
I mean, yeah. You wouldn't know it by the way I speak and the way I play games. And
he's an actor.
You mean the way he wins games?
Okay.
I don't know what it is either, but I'm also not into the hobby.
You say...
I'm the only one that is. I just make them play.
I'm hobby adjacent, literally.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. He doesn't make me play. I'm like...
Put me in.
I finally have... Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I'm ready to lose!
That's right. Hey, that doesn't always happen.
No, it's usually me.
That's right. You and I always go at each other pretty hard, so...
That's why I win.
That's right.
Vulture.
Except for 2 weeks ago when
I kicked both their asses in both games. Hell yeah, cha 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 cha.
But PJ and I went after each other, and
it was great. So, for once, I wasn't attacked. It's like, oh my God, I may have a chance. So I've never heard of GameFound, and I'm curious about what the difference between working with them is as opposed to working with Kickstarter,
or at least so far.
Process. Yeah.
No, I actually, that's a great question. I can tell you all about it. It really is very interesting just because, you know, coming at it from a designer perspective is actually secondary because I obviously have backed a ton of games myself. I mean, I've been in the hobby for, you know, 15, 20 years, I guess. And I backed my first Kickstarter probably in 2014, I guess. So, okay. Of course, there's a lot of other people, you know, did it way earlier than that. But, you know, Kickstarter, of course, was the go-to place. And what happened is a lot of companies tried the crowdfunding thing, and they, you know, they kind of petered out real quick or just didn't have it together or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what Kickstarter doesn't offer is pledge managers. And of course, over the time, there was, you know, CrowdOx was the old one, and then there was BackerKit. Yeah. And then later, when Awaken Realms, the guys who make Nemesis and Painted Grail and Lords of Hellas and all these really, really big games, they ended up, they're a Polish company, they ended up making their own pledge manager, and it was called GameFound. And so what they were doing is they had so many different parts of the game that they were selling as add-ons or whatever early on. They didn't like how all the other pledge managers were being done. It didn't have anything really to do with Kickstarter, but it was the pledge manager part that they said they wanted more control over. Okay. So they developed a pledge manager in-house for all of their particular games. And then slowly over time, they started inviting other big companies to use them as a pledge manager. And so they were, you know, Kickstarter adjacent, you know, part of the process for people to back on Kickstarter, and then you finish out your pledge to, you know, pay for shipping and add-ons and all this other stuff over time on GameFound. So in 2020, I think, that was when they made the big announcement, and I'd have to verify this, but the first game that went live on GameFound as an actual Kickstarter competitor, meaning an actual crowdfunding platform, was ISS Vanguard. ISS Vanguard was a massive co-op game. It was sci-fi based. And of course, it was made by Awakened Realms, and Awakened Realms is who owns GameFound. So they actually decided to try it themselves with their own game, game IP. Hmm. So, that was, I believe it was 2020. I think it was that year. It may be even 2019, but I'm almost sure it was 2020.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So, you know, and I just received my ISS Vanguard, and I think it's like 3 years late. So, at this point, but anyway, they started doing other, you know, they would kind of do invite only, and they would bring other companies, and they would invite them to, you know, use their platform, people who were very unhappy with Kickstarter or wanted to try something different. And early on, the problem was they really couldn't compete with Kickstarter, because Kickstarter has all of this built-in traffic. You know, they've got 20 years of notoriety within the hobby, you know, and it, of course, it's not just board gaming and Kickstarter. They, you know, you can back just about whatever you want to back over there. They will sell you. But GameFound was basically the answer to a Kickstarter competitor, but specifically for board games only. And they have just now started, like, ever so slightly opening that bubble to things like 3D models and terrain for, you know, big tabletop games. A few RPG projects have now shown up. But for the most part, the number of Kickstarter campaigns on any given moment, just in the board game category, is 100 at any given moment.
Right.
The number of campaigns on GameFound ever in like 3 years is about 100. So, there's clearly a lot of exposure that you can get on there. But the biggest thing that most designers and publishers are telling me, and things that I've learned a little bit, is that you kind of have to bring your audience with you, because since it is so like laser focused on, you know, board games, on crowdfunding, specifically like not mass market stuff like Seismic, then you kind of have to find a way to let people know, hey, I'm over here, I'm on GameFound, you know, so. Yeah. Kickstarter, you know, has a lot of built-in traffic, and so you can bring an audience to Kickstarter, and you'll usually end up with like another 30-40% more than what you brought with you just in traffic and browsing. GameFound is, you're not going to get that drive-by traffic, but what you do get is the people that are following your campaign on GameFound. The conversion rate of a follower, meaning somebody who's just looking at your campaign and tracking it, the conversion rate is much, much, much higher, because it's kind of, I was telling somebody this the other day who actually didn't know anything about crowdfunding at all. And they said, well, what's the difference between Kickstarter and GameFound? And I said, think of Kickstarter. You've got a board game in your hands, and you're standing on the corner of a big city, and you're just going, hey, I got this cool game. I got this cool game to buy. You know, come buy it. And then instead of that, you take the same game and you walk into a game convention or a game board game store. And every time somebody walks in, you're only going to show it to maybe 100 people versus 10,000 people on the corner in New York City or something. But the 1,000 people that walk through that door are your customers.
Yeah, right.
Not the 10,000 people that you know, throw it at on the side of the street. So that's kind of what GameFound is. Is GameFound is the target audience. And the question is at that point is, can you make sure that people, because now, you know, it's not just a bunch of people who might just click buy and do it spontaneously. Now the problem is, though, you have this laser focused audience, but they're also educated about the hobby, educated about the games. They are right. Not going to fall for a bunch of tricks and nonsense or whatever. So you have to be, I think you have to be a lot more transparent, a lot more open, and a lot more straightforward. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where I think that GameFound and Kickstarter and the differences are. And I've had a much better experience on GameFound so far.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
well,
great.
Well, you're not null, so straight up, you're already 1,000% better.
Not yet. Absolutely. Things could, knock on wood.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
exactly. 5 out of 5 would recommend.
Absolutely. It's like that 4 out of 5 dentists. What about the last one? We actually couldn't get a hold of him.
Exactly.
We got a secretary.
Yeah, Simon exclusively working with GameFound now is definitely going to help with that traffic, though.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. That announcement actually is what prompted me, believe it or not, because I wanted to ride that wave when they made that announcement.
Yeah.
Again, GameFound was not something that everybody in the hobby had been exposed to. Most everybody, if you backed a lot of crowdfunding projects, you were aware of it, even if you had never backed on it. But when Simon made the announcement in mid-March, and I mean, it just made waves across the entire industry. I mean, it was huge. Everybody was talking about it. It was unprecedented because Simon is literally the largest crowdfunder, company.
I was going to say, what's Simon?
Yeah.
For people like me who are hobby adjacent, I'm like, Simon sounds very funny.
Well, okay,
one letter from being funny.
So I tell this every time we talk about a Simon game. They used to be called Simon.
Oh, come on. You've heard me.
So they used to be called Simon because people made semen jokes. And so now they go by Come On, which...
That's even worse. I mean, at least with the other one, you could say, no, he's a sailor, you asshole.
Right.
Maybe they
But
others.
I only just learned 2 weeks ago why they are called Cool Mini or Not.
Right. Oh, I never knew
about that. There's a website called Cool Mini or Not where you would like paint your minis, post it online, be like, you know, kind of like hot or not.
Yeah.
And does this look cool? Did I do a good
paint job? So you'd be like, is this a cool mini or not? And that's how they started.
Yep.
And so I never knew that before.
It's good to know.
I said the same thing.
I'm just really glad
so
that.
So enjoying Simon. Come on.
I'm just really glad that when we do our podcast.
So many ideas for our D&D podcast right now. There is a joke that my character made because she's very innocent. She's very moralistic. And I go, well, we could be like the charismatic or the caring man, the seamen. And everyone goes, oh, I'm like, oh, it's happening. We're the seamen, guys. So, but now, come on. Taking it for my podcast. Let's put that over here in this show.
All right, if you're going to do Come On, Eileen better be right after that.
So
I'll make it work.
And I just want to say that after seeing what I look like, I'm really glad people don't see what we do while we're actually doing the podcast. Because I make some pretty fucked up faces.
Until next Friday.
Oh, shit, that's right. Well, boy, they're in for a treat.
Yep.
Awesome.
And Saturday.
So one of the things, this is like not really a question maybe, just something that I didn't know until I read it. I don't even know where I read it, but apparently in Seismic at any given time there can be up to 150 minis on the board.
That is absolutely correct.
Dear Lord.
In the highest player count, you could technically have that many minis actually on the board.
That's
now
awesome.
Again, it's one of those. It's the potential to have that.
Okay.
I have definitely seen more than 100 on the board at once. there is the absolute potential to have 150 minis on the board.
That is so
cool. So, it sounds completely unreasonable, but believe it or not, it actually, you're playing the game, it all makes perfect sense.
So what is your max players for this game?
So max players is six players with the 5 and 6 player expansion. The the base game is going to be 2 to 4.
Okay.
However, there has been tons of people just beating my door down asking for a solo mode, and I'm like, so I'm not a solo gamer. Okay, I it's just not something I do. A lot of
this one is.
Okay. I'm just not a solo gamer. I have a
nobody likes to play with him.
I have to play with myself.
He says, come on. And everyone says, no, Mon.
Right.
So, no, I think they usually say, we already did. You're just far behind.
Take your Simon somewhere else.
So the thing is because I'm not a solo gamer, I always found it bizarre because I'm like, okay, that's fine like for Euros and stuff that are more puzzly.
Yeah.
A game like Seismic, I'm like, who is going to break out this massive, like, you know?
I could never play that. No, I couldn't even play this one solo.
Oh, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you'll try it once.
No, well, when I'm learning the game, I will play it two-handed for sure. At least for like a round or two.
That's right. He's going to double fist this one.
Yeah.
Well, I'll play with myself with both minis. Hands.
Whoa, PJ. Calm down now.
No.
Calm down, because again, Simon.
Well, usually you do one, the other follows.
I'm lying. I'll be here all night. I live here.
So, good news for PJ, though, is that the idea here, I have been working on a solo mode for about the last 30 days or so.
Cool.
And believe it or not, is not only something I'm finally proud of and I'm very happy about, but it actually is a very good tutorial on how to play the main game. So instead of it kind of being double-handed where you're playing like two characters, this is you're playing the game almost exactly like you would be playing at the table with other people. And I've got a couple of AI decks that are constructed that actually make sense, because initially I was like, oh, well, I can just put a bunch of actions in this deck and, you know, people flip the card. That made no sense. It didn't work. And so then I started like looking at how this works, how can this work? And then I started trying to figure out how can you manage all this stuff on the table, you know, because again, a solo mode has to be manageable from one seat at the table. You don't want to be getting up and reaching everywhere. So,
right.
You know, so anyway, it works. I'm very happy.
Cool.
So when we originally talked to you about this game, and as Pooja and I have been talking about it and like getting excited about it over the year, I just keep seeing the only way that we could possibly play this game and get full fun out of it is if we had like if we had like the little sticks to like move all like you did when you're doing full scale room stuff like
table. Yeah, like a craps table.
Yeah, like we're moving here and I'm going to attack you from this side. Sally Paul, like that's I think you have to make no. Well, now I need to make this just so we can have fun with it.
That's going to totally work in an audio format, by the way. Like everyone's gonna totally understand what you're doing.
Everyone's gonna understand exactly just by the tone of voice, and they're going, "Oh yes, World War I." Everybody knows that's how those Brits sounded, isn't that right, PJ? Being a half Brit yourself.
That's right.
Nah, he's not limey, he's lime.
He's not. I found out from Paul Sr. He claimed his children to be American when he was at the British consulate. So PJ is 100% American.
Yeah, but he's got limey blood in him.
We could have had dual citizenship, and he said no.
Yeah, he said that Laura has never forgiven him. And I go, why haven't forgiven you? I just found out. So no.
Oh my God.
Well, very loud in the microphone.
Into the microphone.
What? Yeah. What, you guys know I'm
would
loud.
Would the crap stick even work, though? Because your board is made to, like, it's inlaid, correct?
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep stealing
your drink. Inlaid, yes. So you have individual hexes. Not
pay
only that.
Pay attention, Dan. It wouldn't even work. Even I know that.
Oh, no, totally. I'd make it work somehow.
Come on.
Eileen.
But the idea is that you also have multiple units in a single hex, and, you know, just pushing things around is not ideal.
Yeah. So.
Oh no!
I'm sorry. That just it that th- those sentences and thoughts
come
just
on,
fit together so.
I mean, there's so many places
on,
that Angie
Eileen,
and I
but...
could go with this.
Don't forget the 7-inch towers.
That's right.
I'm so excited. The second. I'm like, Angie. Oh,
sounds like compensation for something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't ask you.
Not how it's tall. It's how it's used in the game. Right. Add that prepositional phrase and we're fine.
Look, we didn't say 7 inches. Ouch.
Context, yes. Thank you, Dan.
Right. Oh, it's because it's plastic you stepped on. Ow, my foot.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's
I'm going to hell.
I'll see you there.
All right. We'll bring Seismic and play while we're there.
Satan walks by. Hey, what you playing?
So, what are you playing? Oh, it's a Seismic. You want to play? Yeah, I got some time.
You want to come on?
Yeah. Come on, my game.
My game, yeah.
Come on, my game.
Come on.
Okay. My next thing, question for you is, I think you surprised a lot of us who've been following the game last year with Kickstarter. When you announced a cardboard version and then various tiers.
Yeah.
So A, is the cardboard one coming back? And B, how long did you have that in your pocket? Because like the 3D cardboard constructed towers and everything, like it was awesome.
Oh yeah, that looks
so cool. Believe it or not, I mean, as much as I love all of the rest of the like the main designer's vision of the game, this sounds crazy, but I designed that ship in what you would call kind of woodcraft. I designed that ship in an evening, and I had never done anything like that. And I literally like had a laser cutter. I cut it out. I had kind of all pictured in my mind, and then I laid it all out. And I took a big plate out to my laser cutter, and I just cut it out, brought in the pieces, punched them out, and just like put it together. And I mean, I was just like, oh my God, I love it.
Wow,
that's awesome.
It just was one of those just lucky, like, let me give this a shot. It was just so perfect. So I had another cool system where, you know, you actually placed the actual unit, so you didn't need little, you know, bottoms on them, but you would place them into the hexes. I don't know if you guys remember that as well.
Yeah,
the hexes themselves had like holes in them. And not only that, but the holes were designed to also show you what the maximum hex occupancy for a hex is, which is even in a roundabout way, even more, it was more deliberate and it was better in appearance for people to understand how the hex occupancy works. So, and I have some cool slick ways that the minis work like that, but the cardboard system, I spent quite a while getting the cardboard system working, but here's the bad news. I will not have it in this campaign.
Okay.
So let me tell you why, though. It's very important. The problem with having two dramatically different versions, and they really would be dramatic differences.
Oh, absolutely.
They play the same, but in the world of manufacturing, they are so different that the biggest issue I had was, first of all, not that many people wanted the cardboard edition.
Mm-hmm.
And even worse, the cardboard edition was in a roundabout way cannibalizing my quantity count, my minimum order quantity of the actual order.
Okay, that makes
sense.
And
so I was actually hurting myself at the time. I didn't realize because I had no idea how many people would want, you know, a basic standard version, you know, like a $80 to $90 version versus the crazy over the top $200 version. So it was one of those where I wasn't sure what the market was asking for. And of course, after it was all said and done, I literally think I had like 15 people, you know, that wanted the cardboard edition and everybody else wanted all the other ones. And so I still, and that's the other thing is you're creating two products basically at that point. And the issue is you now have a minimum order quantity on each. And it just doesn't make sense. So, and this is why you'll look at lots of crowdfunding projects and they have what they would call their core version. And then the expanded versions are just more stuff added to that.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't make two separate versions. Again, that was something I kind of had to learn the hard way. Because I thought the market might demand that. And it was just not ideal. Now, I still have the cool, like, you know, ship thing all
week. Yeah, you don't get rid of that, yeah.
Yeah, it was super cool. I loved it. But no, sadly, that will not be an option this time, so.
All right.
Is River available?
River!
Oh, boy.
Say Simon and come on and see which one works.
Simon, River, Simon!
Come on, boy!
He is right now. River, he may be... I hear him maybe on the stairs. He might be hanging out with the kiddos in the other room. So I'll have to look for him.
All right, I remember. Thank goodness I made a list of things I wanted to talk about. So last time we talked,
my list was short.
Yeah.
Hi, how are
River.
You, River?
Right.
I didn't have a list.
Priorities.
I wasn't here the first time.
No, you weren't. You might have been like over there.
She was.
Yeah.
And River was a very last ending to it. And I go, you have a dog? Don't ever apologize for dogs. Who's Cube? That's why I was like, Angie, look, there's a dog. Come here. I remember very clearly.
Yes.
So last time we talked, you mentioned minimizing setup time to as little as possible, similar to Eclipse Second Edition, where everyone has like their own box of stuff or tray or whatever. Have you been able to, during this time off, like, been able to, like, design anything or come up with any ideas, or is that still a work in progress?
It's still a work in progress, and some of that is kind of dependent on funding at this point. You know, it depends
that makes
on
sense.
How far,
yeah.
You know, and also some of that is a little dependent on stretch goals that get unlocked, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to kind of design the tray based on like, okay, if this is going to be replaced by that, or if this is going to be upgraded or whatever. So unfortunately the tray, it's still, that's the idea, is that every player will have their own tray. They'll have their own, you know, setup, and everything should be very quick and easy, but it's still going to be something that will have to kind of evolve as we get through the campaign, late pledges come in, all the other stuff happens. So fingers crossed that everything works this time, and I'm not
annoyed. Yeah, right. Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Like, even, I don't know if you have the Scythe, like, big box.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like how it has the tuck boxes, you know? Like, I was thinking, like, maybe even something like that, you know? Where, so, you know, depending on funding, like,
of course.
But. Yeah, I was also brainstorming of different things, you know, because, again, I think about this game a lot.
He does.
That is awesome. I really do need to send you guys a copy of the prototype to play, just so you kind of actually get to check it out.
I just don't know if I can find the time.
Hold on. I'm coming, Elizabeth. All right, Sanford and Son, anyone? Nobody?
No. Oh, my God. No,
I got
you
it.
Are way too young to know that reference.
I am not.
He's an old man.
He was born in the wrong generation.
Damn right I was. You remember what John used to say about me? I should have been born in the 20s. I said, why is that, John? You'd made a great con artist. Thank you?
I could see you doing a good job with Prohibition, being one of the bootleggers.
Fuck yeah.
I think about Dex Dixon a lot too, and we've been, because you know,
I can't wait.
I think about a year ago on like the different interviews that we're doing at that time period, and Dex Dixon, we had so much fun with. That's when I caught COVID. I remember that too, because like I was wearing a mask during this interview. I was like, Dan, full disclosure, got COVID thanks to my students.
Oh,
but we made it work, you know.
Yeah, and what was my response? I don't give a shit.
Do you see where I work? It's going to be okay.
That's another Kickstarter that's going to be
reinvented.
He's going to be retrying.
Yep.
And he changed the game. And so I think it's kind of cool to see, like, games, you know, change, I think, to make it more marketable. But what makes you different is that you've had this vision from the beginning and you haven't changed it. Like, you're offering this game that from day one, I told PJ, there's no question, whatever is in our account, you're going to buy this game, because I make jokes like, you know, I want the button. Obviously I want the button. That is non-negotiable.
Right. Is the button returning?
The button is returning.
Or there's a special box marked just for your Simon, and it's us and we get the button. I'm cool with it. But like,
I recommend not having CMON on your button, or else it'll stick.
That's right.
Right.
Normally,
I wouldn't
that stuff
that. Thank you.
Is kept in a cup. Okay.
Cup mon.
Don't let somebody come on your CMON.
But now it's on my face.
Boy, is your face red.
White?
Yeah. But, like, your game never changed. And I think that is the draw for me. And that's why from day one I told PJ, like, you're going to buy this game. Like, there was no question. And you can buy the best version of theirs in the Kickstarter, the different levels.
I think what she's really saying was, you're going to buy this game. It doesn't matter what the hell I say. You're going to buy the game.
No.
I have no choice in this.
No, it was me saying, you don't have a choice. You're buying it because I like it.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, like, that's very rare. Because I'm like,
it is.
I go, how much is it
going to cost? That is awesome.
Can you go for the Kickstarter that's not the top? What do you get with the top? Fine. always a conversation because, like, you can't see it, but I'm surrounded by board games right now. There are board games upstairs.
Board games to our right and to our left.
There's board games.
We're stuck in the middle with you.
Over there, there's board games hidden. Like, it's board games in his classroom. Just like they're hidden everywhere.
I will say, those were donated to us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure, but like yours is never I was just like non-negotiable. You're buying it because like when I saw it, I was like, I need this. You know,
that is awesome.
And Game Found monthly payment plans. So
that is true.
See,
yeah.
that's what I'm really excited about because I never really have enough money to just drop on something immediately.
We made it a rule that he has the money to drop on this, like no payment plan. Just
I've had it set aside for a while now. Just
right,
like this is my seismic funds. It's ready.
It's in an account.
Well, everybody else goes.
We've
your
always
fund.
Had hope.
So PJ, did you feel that earthquake today? Is that what you're saving up for?
Right.
And you're like, that's what I'm saving up for—an earthquake.
Oh my gosh!
I needed $200 to fix the house.
That's right.
I'm in English class, and all of a sudden the projector starts like the screen just starts bouncing up and down on the smartboard.
Oh, you're in Texas. Sorry.
And
New Jersey,
I know all about it.
It's been all over the news.
We're here in Pennsylvania, and we like the screen is shaking, and all the kids are like, "What's happening?"
Meanwhile, in my classroom, I get a text. How about that earthquake? And I'm like, yeah, I had a lot of shaking, but my school's old, so I just assumed it was kids in the hallway. Like that's.
Okay, while all of this was going on, I'm still in bed going, what the fuck is that fat ass cat doing now? And then I was like, oh no, he's over there. Haven't felt one of those since Los Angeles.
Poltergeist. Oh, sorry. Right. Living in my house, poltergeist.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
So back to Seismic.
No.
Not the Seismic today, but this game Seismic.
Yeah. So your dream has always been like the big luxury full in edition of it.
Yes, it is the Cadillac of board games. Yes.
And quite honestly, after talking with you and seeing it, and all that, I agree. Like there's no other way I would want this game. But I know some people said like the sheer size of it, like it's a meter in diameter and things like that. Like, is there? Well, I guess you kind of answered this question already. There won't be like a smaller version or anything, like a smaller board or anything, will there?
There's basically some changes I had to do now. So things are smaller, but we're talking like 15%. So we're not talking like if you'd never seen the game in person, you would probably never notice. You know, it's one of those things that I will have to tell you that it's 15% smaller.
He's saying there's some shrinkage.
So
it got cold.
It's still
seismic in the pool.
It's still one of those games that you'd look and still say, damn!
John Garcia, if you're listening, Angie and I have some comments.
10-inch tiles.
Thank God.
In the big box.
In the big box.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, the thing is, because of manufacturing costs, because of production, and honestly, a lot of the feedback that I got from the last campaign, there's certainly a group of individuals who want that mega crazy, epic, a scale. But, me too, right? But in the grand scheme of things, the one thing that I try to keep in mind is I really do look at the industry. I look at what the hobby is going through. Things have changed again. And some of this is, economic with the way that, the world we live in being, here in the U.S. It's an election year. People are weird about money right now.
Election year.
Money since COVID has obviously everybody can agree that inflation is pretty crazy right now.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
We've never seen before. And so the funny thing that I've seen, you know, you would think that something like a hobby like board gaming, you know, already it's a luxury hobby of sorts. Yeah. But you think that for the most part, you know, it's not going to affect something like our hobby. But in this case, it really has. And what I've seen is more and more and more people are saying that they want their, and you guys just talked about it, you're surrounded by board game boxes. People are now saying they want to reclaim their space. They're not as interested in getting these 30-pound crates of plastic showing up at their front door. You know, they want...
What's so wrong with that?
I agree. I have no problem with this. But
when PJ
lift Frosthaven.
Yeah, when PJ showed me Frosthaven, he's like, dude, you got to look at this. I'm like, what? That's pretty big boxes. Yeah, pick it up. I'm like, oh my God.
It thunked the table. It was not.
Yeah, that was back when we had like a plastic folding table. And so I like had Gloomhaven there and Jaws of the Lion on top of it. And I dropped Frosthaven on it. And they, I dropped Frosthaven onto it and they bounced off the table.
It was mighty impressive.
That video is on Facebook. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but it's on Facebook. Yeah.
I have it. It is, yes, it is one of the biggest and heaviest boxes in my collection as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the thing is, you know, everybody has their Kallax shelf or whatever equivalent to put all their games on. And, you know, the one repeating situation I see over and over now is people are like, oh, I'm so sick of all these boxes showing up. I put it all in one box. And, you know, and that's like a new trend as well on crowdfunding is there, you know, we're getting these expansions for these games. And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with Thunder Road Vendetta, you know, their campaign going on right now. They're giving, I mean, the box was already almost Frosthaven size when it came to the maximum Chrome box. Ooh. They have a new expansion. And they're literally putting a divider in between the top and bottom to make the box longer or deeper. And they're putting the expansion in with their own weird little assembly thing for everybody who actually wants to put it all in one box.
That's so cool.
So they're going with the stackable toolbox
idea. But yeah, basically, yes. So
was this also brought to you by Kenmore? Wait, is that still around? Do they Kenmore still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Kenmore's still around.
Okay, phew. I don't know it's around anymore.
They're right there next to the Zenith televisions.
Yes. Okay. Okay. they're all the way. They're all the way back there. Where everyone goes. Wait, that's still a brand? They're still around. What? Magnavox, you're still here?
I know, right?
Holy shit.
So anyway, so that's the thing is, you know, I have reduced the overall like footprint of Seismic. I am changing the player boards as well. A lot of people, and this actually hurts me. This really hurts me deep. I spent a lot of time creating the player boards out of four pieces of puzzle piece together. There's a faction board along the bottom. Uh-huh. There's the main bonus action board that is where you place all your cards. And then there's two sideboards that also puzzle piece together. And those are both double layer. And so all of it is this really nice thick cardboard. It makes the whole thing looks like a computer console. And that's the idea. You're sitting at this like computer console and it's all these neon colors, like sci-fi looking stuff. And the whole idea was that this is your console. This is how you're playing kind of a top-down view of this war going on this planet. And you're at the top of the colony ship looking over the planet, managing all this. And this is your player, you know, this is your command board. Well, you know, people were saying the board is so big and all this, you know, and I'm just like, I know, big. That's, you got to put five cards across. So,
I can't do it. It's too big. Oh, it hurts.
Those are complete with expeditions, too. They're like, the box is so big and the hexes are so big. And it's like, well, they have to be big enough for the cards to fit in between the hexes.
That's right.
Exactly. Yes. So that was my actual problem is that you play five full-size poker-sized cards across the game board. So that really dictated the width of the board. But, you know, the idea was the reason that my board was actually even bigger, and I mean, it's dense with information, but you would never, if you're playing with this board, you'd never have to turn the rule book open. You'd never have to flip open the rule book. Literally everything, once somebody teaches you the game, and I don't mean teaches you like you have to memorize a bunch of data because it's not that kind of game.
Right.
If somebody just teaches you the basic mechanics and how to play the game, every other piece of data that you could ever want to know was built into the console. you everything was all referenced on there as if it was like, you know, again, almost like a Wikipedia page of the whole game. With yeah. On this console.
Now, see, and that's one of the things that PJ and I talk about a lot.
A lot.
When we do our reviews. We love it when that kind of information is there in front of you, either on your board, either on a player card, even a player aid, like something so you don't have to keep going, shit, what can I do now? What do I do? Yeah. Get out the book.
Like, Earth just arrived today in the mail, and I printed out player aids at work, and, you know, I have those ready for when we play it.
But they, you know, but it's a cardinal sin to me that a game that comes out and does not have a player aid of some sort.
I agree.
It's crazy to me. So the unfortunate part is now what I've done is I've taken the crazy big faction board that has all this cool data and lore and all this, you know, a picture of the person you're playing and these really big, you know, texts for their special abilities. That has all now been reduced. That used to be 15 inches wide by like 5 inches tall.
Okay? Damn.
And it was cardboard. You know, it was.
See the size of that console?
I might want to come on it later.
Come on.
So that is now gone, and that these are going to be tarot-sized cards for your faction that you're playing.
Okay.
And, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, this is now a situation of practicality and production cost, you know, to try to get the game a lot cheaper than it was. So the idea now is that you'll have a cool faction card, and it'll be double-sided and have all your info. And it's more than capable and even more practical. And then the main player board is still the same size, but the two sideboards have now been shoved together and they're pushed together. And that's going to be just a double layer board by itself, because that's basically it's information you're tracking. It's okay. Not something that All right. you are needing to have direct access to. So you can also place it to the side. I've trimmed out all of the player aid material, and now there will be an actual player aid as well. So,
okay.
To me, what's weird about that is it's almost counterintuitive, because I now have basically four pieces of things that's going to be laying in front of the player. And in my opinion, it takes up almost just as much room.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the difference is, though, is that depending on your table, depending on your space that you have to work within, you can now, as a player, you have the agency to arrange this however you need. And if you do play the game a lot, you can toss the player aid after about two or three plays, and you'll never need that again. And now it's one less thing that you need.
Yeah.
So, you know, on one hand, I mean, again, the theme, I baked the theme into everything, production, manufacturing, like the layout, everything. And some of that now, just because of practicality, has kind of had to go away. So,
right.
Yeah. So like I just about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I played Twilight Imperium for the first time.
Oh, and, wow.
And that has ginormous player board space, you know, and
player boards. Yeah.
And then there's the, you know, the galaxy and everything in the middle and all that. So it's a giant game. And I guarantee the people who are going to be backing Seismic have played Twilight Imperium,
or at least they're familiar with it.
Absolutely. Yes. And the thing is it kind of depends. I mean, I'm going to try to kind of get a feel for what people are looking for.
Yeah.
I could return back to that console and see what the, you know, kind of what the response is. That could be one of those like stretch goals where we go from this kind of dry looking just player board, you know, with the, so, you know, the places to put your cards. And then if I do, you know, if I add a stretch goal down the line that says upgrade to this, you know, puzzle piece console system, then people might go, holy crap. Yeah.
Son of a bitch, I'm in.
I want that.
And then it's back. You know?
I'm definitely getting that.
There's no question. We're getting that.
You can tell his job was in marketing.
Exactly.
What gave it away?
Right.
Just another question I have for you is, how was it playing with Dice Tower?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was super fun. You know, I had met Tom before at PAX Unplugged. very briefly, you know, as one of those kind of just, you know, encounters at a convention, you know, go, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. You know, the conversation was 3 or 4 minutes, you know, no big deal. And I had met him and Z and Sam before he had left. And so they were there the year prior and it was kind of cool. But then, of course, you know, Tom meets 1,000 people, at a convention, you know, he doesn't know who I am.
Yeah. For people who aren't in the hobby, I always say like Tom Vassell is like the Roger Ebert of board games, you know, like he is the voice of critics, you know?
Yes. And that is a very good analogy. But, you know, when I did book my time with them, I flew out to Miami, went to their studio. I showed up early. Roy Cannaday, which, of course, is known for Last Light and very successful game. You know, he was there. He runs all their behind the scenes stuff. He's kind of their video guy and editing and all that. So, of course, I meet him. Super cool guy. Very, very nice. You know, and he was just kind of getting to the point of Last Light was starting to become a real thing, you know, and so, Tom meets and greets with me a bit, and we're both kind of groggy. I think I got to his place like 7 in the morning or something.
I'm not geez. A person.
You know, I think I told you the other day, you know, when we were talking online, I was like, yeah, I mean, you want to record this at 2 in the morning? I'm game. No problem. but anyway, you know, I get there at like 7 in the morning, me and Tom, you know, Tom's there and he's not apparently a morning person either. And we're both kind of like, and he's like, So I go get 5 minutes set up. And by then, some of the other crew had come in. It was really the first time I'd ever interacted with Chris Yee. Chris Yee was awesome, super cool guy. He was very into Seismic as well. In fact, one of the nicest compliments I ever got from somebody who just played the game in person was I ended up leaving after we did our live playthrough, and Tom invited me back to the studio, which, you know, I don't know if that's normal or not.
Yeah.
Maybe not completely normal, but he said, look, we're going to be playing a bunch of other games. Why don't you come over later today and let's hang out and play some more games? So I got to hang out with him and his whole crew. Z was there. Chris was there. Roy, Tom, basically anybody and everybody from their whole channel. Of course, they go to work every day there. And I ended up showing up. I guess it was 3 in the afternoon, maybe. I played Thunder Road Vendetta the very first time.
Nice.
Tom and Chris. I played Tom himself actually taught me the Ludus Magnus game. Ludus Magnus Studio game called DEI, which is a fairly well known game now. They've had their second Kickstarter. In fact, I think their third Kickstarter for that game is coming out soon. And Tom actually taught me that game there, and we played that and went through it, and I hung out with him the whole evening. Super fun. I mean, I would love to go back. In fact, I just exchanged an email with him this week, as a matter of fact. So. Huh,
cool.
Chris seems like a hard guy to please, too, so for him to like it.
That's what in fact, I got sidetracked. Chris gave me one of the best compliments, because when I did go back, I have that same thing. That
it happens. It happens. Yeah. I'm tired, yeah, exactly, so my ADD's right. Everywhere.
So it's contagious. So I go back, and one of the best compliments I ever got is Chris, who plays literally thousands of games per year. He comes up to me when I come back to the studio about 3 in the afternoon, and, you know, we chit chat a little bit, and he sat down with me for a minute or two at a table while we were just kind of getting ready to decide what we were going to play. And he goes, man, I can't stop thinking about how I want to replay your game. And I've got like so many ideas in the order and how I want to play the cards. And then I was sitting there thinking while we were playing, like, oh, I've already made mistakes. I need to go back and do this again.
And oh my God, it sounds like you.
Yep. It does. It does. Although...
After the Empire.
When he was playing, did he go, shit, I fucked myself that time? Because that's what this one does all the time.
Right? So, yeah, it was really like Chris he and I talked off and on through the rest of the evening. And even Tom was very sincerely, genuinely giving me a lot of nice feedback after the playthrough off camera.
Yeah,
which, again,
oh, that's great.
He didn't have to say anything. You know, he could have just been like, yeah, hey, thanks, goodbye.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But he actually sat down with me and talked a bunch about the game as well, was talking about how much he liked it. He wasn't sure. They all had they were all, you know, they all had a little bit of trepidation about it because, again, you set up this massive game and you just played Twilight Imperium, so you know.
Yeah. So
here's this massive game. I have 20 minutes to teach everybody in the room who's literally never heard of this game.
Yeah.
I had 20 minutes to teach them. They've never played it. They never read the rule book. They knew nothing about it. And you guys, if you did watch that, you saw them and their reactions to the game, them playing the game.
Yeah.
And I gave them, it was literally, it couldn't even have been 10 minutes because we got interrupted. It could not have been a 10-minute explanation. And everybody at the table not only got the game, but they actually had, by the second or third turn, they had strategies already. And so the game is really that easy to pick up in spite of appearance. So, yeah, it was
that was really cool to see you fund, like, during the live stream, too. And it's like, hey, you just funded.
That was so funny, too, because I'm, like, into the game, and I'm trying to make sure everybody's having a good time. And then everybody's, like, pointing at the screen, and I'm like, what?
Well, that's really awesome. I really am excited for this game. Ever since PJ showed it to me, like before we did our first interview, I was like, "Oh." And it's really cool that you were able to teach everybody in 10 minutes, and everybody would start picking things up. We love those kinds of games where, even though it looks so complicated, it's like, yeah, it is complicated, but when you wrap your mind around it. Yeah. Everything just falls together and it becomes almost second nature.
Yeah, it's not complicated in the rules. It's complicated in just the depth of strategy.
Right. It's one of those, it's easy to learn, but it's hard to win. And I love those kinds of games where you can, like, all right, this is going to be great. This is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. I think the replayability is good for it too, then, because then you get to think about what I'm going to do next time.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the things, by the way, and this is actually a semi-announcement, I'll tell you guys first, is
this
will be up on the page. Yay, exclusive! it's an interesting thing that I have that I've kind of been working with a little bit, but I'm introducing it's almost tongue-in-cheek a bit, but I'm introducing the Euro mode of Seismic. So the idea is that, you know, the game has discovery cards, and the discovery cards are wildly game-breaking. These are the cards that really create the crazy chaos at the table, with the crazy stories that you walk away from. And so the idea is if you play the game with the absolute most basic core system, which is your 10 command cards, that's basically your actions that you take. You still have to deal with the planet fracturing. You still have to deal with the interaction among all the players. But the Euro mode is all the cards in the game. The discovery cards are triple use. You can use the cards to mitigate dice values in battle, and you can turn them in for resources and rewards. The middle of the card is the crazy over-the-top actions. So in my Euro mode of Seismic, you actually ignore the middle of the card. You do not play with any faction abilities. And relic cards that you get also are crazy, game-breaking, or whatever. You only gain the relic card upside down because those also can be spent to gain a command card you played previously so you can re-add it to your hand. So that is as clean, dry, and more the player agency is more Euro style at that point.
Yeah, that sounds very British.
Yes, exactly. So, but it is interesting because, again, you take a game like Seismic, and it is, you know, it really is unabashedly, like, you know, Ameritrash. You know, it really is. you're beating people together, you're rolling dice, there's crazy things happening. And what I'm doing is I'm kind of reining all that chaos in to the point of now it's going to feel a lot more like a Euro. And that's just going to be a separate mode. There's no changes in production or manufacturing, anything like that. It's just a separate mode.
So that's really cool because now you've given yourself a whole new dynamic to play this game. And you're really going to sprawl yourself out for a brand new audience.
Yes, and that's what
that is a brilliant idea. Absolutely brilliant. Especially when all you're doing is just saying, oh yeah, no, this is just the style. You're literally just saying, yeah, just play it this way now.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. The other thing that I did, which again is just a simple rule book change, is I have four different endings on how you can choose the way you want the game to end. you can have what I call the standard ending in the rule book, which is this is how the game ends. Or depending on your game group, there's some fairness issues that depending on how you view certain things, you can end the game in four different ways. There's also a new module that I am I'm still working on. I'm tweaking it a little bit, but I absolutely love it. This is I do have a name for it. It's called the Last Resort System. So the Last Resort System, because remember, the key to the game, the idea is everybody at the table is trying to build their colony ship and be the first one to launch. So, but I've always designed Seismic from the ground up to be a cinematic experience. Like, you are the hero of the movie. It's like a Michael Bay meets James Cameron sci-fi action movie. And the idea is that everybody should be, you know, every turn should feel epic, massive, you know, crazy set piece, just like you're watching Avengers Endgame or something like that. Every scene should be huge. So if you feel like either you have a player among your group that is always going to be the winner among your group, you know, it's somebody you want to kind of handicap a little bit, or even just throw them a little curveball, the Last Resort System is during the game, if you feel like somebody is starting to kind of edge out and you might think that they've got a way to win before you can catch up to them, you can draw a last resort card, and there's a price you pay. And the last resort card is a double bluff system between you and the other person. So the idea is there's a prerequisite on the card. I'll explain this to you. So the person that's launching, here's their ship. Imagine this, the ship is completed. Your ship is not. They launch, but when they launch, under normal game circumstances, they win. Game over. Yeah. They're the winner. End of the game, right? The last resort system is the person who then has their ship and they're launching says, I'm launching. Anybody who has met their prerequisite on the last resort card says, oh, you're trying, hold on. And then they drop this card out, and this card says something like, I've been waiting in the wings. I have my entire legion has boarded your ship, and now we are trying to take over. And so what you do is now there's this double bluff system where you tell them a particular set of flavor text. And you say something along those lines, like, I've been waiting for you. I've had my entire legion board the ship at the last minute before you close the door. We're here on the ship. Do you fight or do you surrender? So the answer from the person launching, there's two cards in the deck. Both of them have different results based on the answers. So if you know the game, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to fight and you win or whatever. If you fight, one card says, oh, you were overwhelmed, the other person took over the ship, they tossed you out of the ramp on the way out, you all die, the other player wins. The other card says you fight, you destroy the attackers, and they are gone. So the big question then, you know, and then there's like surrender. If you surrender, then, you know, it says you both win, but the person who really did have control of the ship and was launching now is launching, but they're imprisoned on their own ship, and the other people have now taken it over, and they're flying the ship off with you on it. And you both win, but one of you is now a prisoner. So there's all kinds. It's basically my version of an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Oh my gosh.
That still drives home the whole cinematic feeling of the game. So,
that reminds me of, like, Munchkin, which a lot, you know, is a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, but it's like, yes. Oh, I'm about to win the game. No, there are two monsters now you need to kill. Like, what?
I feel like that's the only way you're gonna win the game.
Yeah. I feel,
this is a module. You don't obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Play it, but, you know, it's a fun side thing.
I feel PJ and I will play this way. And it'll most likely be me spinning in a chair saying, ah, PJ, I've been expecting you. Little did you know.
Meanwhile, I've built my entire
thing. She's already gone.
I've launched, and I'm still fighting over something.
You're going, yes, but what the hell? Did she just launch? Fuck!
Every time.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
I came on first.
I didn't come on first.
No, oh sorry.
My
God.
My Simon were better than yours.
Oh! Wait a second!
No, I want like this explained. I have some biological questions.
Oh my god. Fantastic.
So that you get when you have like nerds who are also teachers.
Yeah.
Right.
And that an actor awesome. Who was the dirtiest comic every time he did improv.
Yep.
So, but my question is, overall, are you excited?
You know, I am. I mean, I will have to level with you, you know, after the I mean, for lack of a better word, the disaster that happened last year with the campaign. You know, I literally had to step back. I took a break from the game. I took a break from everything about it. And I still kind of had that, you know, that drive and that real like crazy ambition, because I had planned on relaunching about 30 days later.
Yeah.
But I really just started looking at the market, and I started reading about all these new things that were happening. I don't know if you guys also remember the whole thing with Quackalope at the time was taking over the industry. Oh, I have a surprise. Come on up here. Come on, River. Come here.
River, come on. Who's a good puppy? Can you see me, River? Hello. Yes. Oh, you're so good. Such a good boy.
River, look at the camera. Look.
He's just a grown-up Tess.
He is a grown-up Tess.
Such a handsome boy.
But he seems to be more behaved.
Oh. Well. Yeah, my boss and her husband, they
have a paw. I love when their paw, like, there's like, no, this is where your hand goes, right here. Yeah, I love when
our dog does that.
Rosie always like, no, more over here, Mom. Yeah.
My boss and her husband have a 4-month-old golden, and she comes to work every day. She's a pain in the fucking ass.
Oh yeah.
Shoot, what were we just talking about before River showed?
Excited.
Oh, excited. Yes, yes. I was
excited to see River.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, I know I was going.
Okay.
I to answer your original question, I am really excited this time. I did have to kind of take a break. Like I said, I really didn't even, I wasn't going to show the game around. I was just going to kind of shelve it for a while. You know, this is mildly personal, but I don't really care. I'll just say it anyway. I spent basically my life savings on the first campaign. You know, it was... it was something me and my wife agreed upon. She's my biggest supporter. I think I told you guys that last time.
Cause you invested in the plastic molds, right? Like they're already, yeah. And that's not cheap.
I spent, just under 6 figures to get where I needed to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that is a lifetime of my savings, literally my life savings.
Yeah.
And me and my wife thought the worst case scenario that we had planned for was literally just getting our money back. That right. was what we figured. And that's why it was just one of those. And of course, as any project, if you've ever remodeled a house or, you know, started a project and, you know, landscaping or, you know, anything like that, every project always balloons out of control, you know, to some degree. And Seismic, of course, was no different.
Yeah.
I spent so, you know, I had a budget set up in mind. And then, of course, after realizing how much money it costs to have influencers talk about it, to have, you know, prototypes created, to have, you know, all the advertising on things like Facebook made up and all, it just, you know, little by little, it was one of those, well, I've come this far, let's not rein it in now, let's just keep going. You know?
Right.
This is, we're gonna have a hit, everything's gonna be great. And so it was, the worst case scenario we had planned for was literally just to make our money back and just say, cool, I made a game, you know, and it was right. one of those, let's put it all on red, you know, and spend the and it was devastating to me personally. Like it was, you know, there was nothing that I had even in the cards that I had planned for the idea that it was going to be a total loss.
Yeah.
So right. This time around, the good news is that, you know, I mean, a lot of all that money was invested in things like assets to the point of where, you know, I've got 3D printers and laser cutters and some other things mm-hmm. that, you know, help the little game business now be able to, you know, produce stuff quickly and all that. I still have my prototypes and, yeah. you know, and obviously on my GameFound page, you know, a lot of the influencers I paid a lot of money for, including Tom and company over at Dice Tower.
Right.
All of that stuff is still valid for the most part. The game in prototype form will be different, but not dramatically. you know, again, some of them introduced, and some of the, there'll be some other changes, but again, I'll address all that on the Game Film page once the campaign is live. But for the most part, this go round, I'm spending next to nothing in the grand scheme of things compared to what I spent before.
That's great. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know, best of luck. We really, really hope you guys make back everything that you put into it from the very beginning.
And then become millionaires and buy lots of rivers and give us a river. Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I don't feel like drowning today, but thank you.
Right.
Do you have any questions for us?
Well, I, you know, actually, I really am interested. How are things going with you guys since we last talked? I, you know, I keep up with the podcast. I know you guys have the other podcast as well. And it sounded like I saw your lives on Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
I was watching them. I didn't get to see them live, but of course, I watched them right after the fact. And I saw you were giving away some cool things. It sounds like really a lot of cool stuff is happening. You guys have a lot of stuff going
on. Games Overboard is uncomfortably close to like,
Well House Exorcism.
I don't like
that.
Yeah.
The irony is, like, I always say, like, my podcast was not going to be a podcast. Like, that was just, because Games Overboard, like, that is the title of the Facebook
page. That's the name of the
like,
website,
that
the Facebook
it,
page,
you know?
And all that.
But I had just said, like, let's do some backstories because we keep talking about these things. Let's do, like, a behind the scenes, like, who are we kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we wanted to record, like, the story of the exorcism we had on the property.
So it was fresh,
and we just didn't have it.
And so like the first couple episodes of Well House are crap, like in terms of like audio. And then of course you lose the technology. We lost all of the files, so we don't have.
Yeah, so we can't
original.
Even remaster it. Yeah,
that is what it is. Yeah.
Right.
But like the nice thing is like PJ put like a little disclaimer, like, you know, we know the first couple suck. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
But sure. You know, compared to the new ones, and they're great. But like that's going super well.
We'll be speaking at a convention in October.
I finished.
I heard that on the last podcast, right?
That's my best friend, Kevin Paul.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's awesome.
And we're doing a fundraiser event.
Yeah.
Well House is doing. Can I finish
my
story?
I'm sorry.
Gosh, I so get to not talk about my podcast.
You were a little more important with the interview and the games. We continue.
Actually, she's more important because she brings in the listeners. She has like triple the listeners.
Oh, shut up.
But I finished my doctorate. I'm not sure if you saw that. Like, so that's on my personal page. It's not on Games Overboard. But so I'm officially PhD Dr. Hayden, which means that I actually have time. And so I told PJ, like, I've been looking into the monetization factor. And, you know, we have combined on Acast different podcasts, but we have to hit a certain number over the month to monetize. I said, so since I get the most listeners right now, I've really been considering, we already do every Sunday and we have devout listeners. I might do an every Wednesday too, like for short half hour side stories, which
just to build up the numbers. Yeah,
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And the truth is I did a 3-part series over Halloween where I just read well-known Poe stories and that went so well. Like people were downloading and talking about it for a while. And I'm like, well, I've read it for 15 years out loud to 8th graders, so it should sound pretty good at this point. But like it was nice because I saw like that was my foot dipping to see like would it work, and it did.
Sure.
So I'm actually going to start doing my podcast twice a week.
Yeah.
Which means more editing, but if it's just PJ and me, the editing is so much easier and we're so good at our program now. We know what buttons to click. That saves us a heck of a lot of time.
Yes.
So on my end, it's going very well. I have a medical expert, Jackie Perez. She's in California. We call her Nurse Jackie. And actually, she's the person, like, you're calling her when he hurt his foot. I'm like, we're calling Nurse Jackie because I think I might need to go to the hospital. I'm like, if you're saying you think, we're calling Jackie because it sounds like it's broken and we're going.
Yeah.
Because he's so rarely, we don't want to go to the hospital because, you know, healthcare costs money. So if we can stay home, we do. But I also have a paranormal expert, Carrie, and she's awesome. She actually is an ESP expert. So, but as an Eastern State, not ESP, the other ESP, but,
Eastern State Penitentiary,
everything,
big prison in Philly.
Her house is a haunted house. Like she actually has like this glass case, just
she
full
has
of,
a curio cabinet. Yeah.
Full of like old medical equipment, like original catheters, creepy things. Yeah. So like paranormal expert, I got it in the bag, but like, it's kind of cool to see like my community growing because they want to do it for free, you know? Yeah. And like, and then it's like, when I said, Carrie, I want to do baskets to help out Helix tabletop game. Well, she and her husband both are big board gamers. And she's like, well, we can make one for Well House. And I have all these great ideas. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. They can make their own board game box, you know. But it's just been fun on my end to like see my non-podcast grow into an actual podcast.
Yeah.
But as I was talking to PJ, like my goal is always to make this podcast the big one. So like I'm going to bump up my numbers, but it's to get Games Overboard monetized, because I said, like, even if we don't make money off of this, the coolest thing is that we can say, because we're talking about you, because we were just coming home today from
this
Tabletop,
afternoon, yeah,
and they said, right, how cool is it that we got to talk to the creator of Dex Dixon, and we were one of the first people he talked to when he was going to reinvent the game. Yeah. Like, that's just really cool, and we get to talk to you tonight, and I get to see River, but, like, you know, and then Jamie Stegmaier, like, we are on a first name basis with the big name,
is,
like, you know, so many videos they've done with him, and I said, it's so cool that I get to hop in and talk once in a while to you guys, but, like, I said, I don't need to be a part of this video because Angie has taken the spot, because I don't love board games, I just do board games. Like, I have my podcast, I'll do me, you do you.
Right,
I don't have to be here because, like, this is for you guys, but, like, it's been a fun year to, like, see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And I feel like Games Overboard, they found their niche. Like, when I listen to their podcast, it sounds like their and I know it's going to start off with something ridiculous as a cold open. And I know that they're going to be using otter jokes, and I can't wait to hear the otter jokes. And like my people, when they listen to my podcast, if I say phenomena and he doesn't go do 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 do, I know Jackie is
we
in
get
California.
Messages, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I get, like, personal messages, do 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 do, and how did you not hit PJ with his dad jokes? Like, so it's kind of fun to, like, we are in the baby, like, I still saw it's the toddler stages.
Sure.
But it's been a beautiful, like, for me, like, personally, it's been a very beautiful, like, year.
Oh,
and
gosh,
a very supportive year, because, like, I'm doing my podcast while also writing a 131-page document that defines my entire future, you know, but to have that, like, that give and take of our listeners going, we're so happy for you, like, oh, well, first part of the situation sounds like I submitted the first copy. I was like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing, it's not really, I'm not done. Like, so they're gonna go, that's good, but here are my suggestions. Okay, well, here are my, like, so, like, it's been like a process since January, right?
Yeah.
But, like, to have, like, the people and to grow this beautiful world, like, where I have a paranormal expert and I have a medical expert and I have my best friend, Kevin Paul, you know, like, and we get to go do this Paracon now. Like, it's just fun because I think we're all seeing each other at the beginning of our future. Like, I vote from day one. Sure. I said, like, Seismic is going to be a game. Like, we're going to buy the game because, like, it's going to, like, I knew.
We are all convinced that this game is going to last.
And you have me believing it, I'm not a board gamer. Like, I'm just like, no, you're not buying that. Kickstarter, you're going to go for the base. But, like, I was like, no, we're all in.
Yeah.
Like, button or no button. Like, this, because you see, you see that this is the game. Like, you know, when Jamie Stegmaier has an idea, like Wingspan, this is the game, right?
Right, right.
And so, like, I feel like we're seeing each other at that crossroads before we get big, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of cool to all be a part of this. And I'm not going to get gushy, but it's kind of cool to be a part of this now because I'm doing it with my best friend since third grade. You know, like, he's sitting right there. Like, best friend since third grade. We took pictures together, and, you know, like, one of my best friends from middle school, high school, before she left because she graduated. My husband.
It's not my fault I'm older than you.
Graduation.
Stupid people with their red hair. But
if only she had a soul.
If only she had a soul. Then she wouldn't have left.
So that's why we get along so well.
That's why she fits in the well house. No soul.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of beautiful to, like,
you,
to build this together with, like, the people that I love the most, you know?
That is awesome.
So, like, that's my my two cents, but now it's your turn.
I'm joking.
You've slept over here before, so this house is as much your house as it's my house.
hold on, let me think here.
No, don't even do the math. Instead,
yeah, no, I've probably slept here more than you have, and you live here.
No, I've done the math. I know.
Oh my god, we need to show PJ that Furby video. I just thought about it.
Jeez.
When we tell our ghost stories, Dan's part of the ghost story.
But yeah, so, like Shanna said, Games Overboard, like, if it, for whatever reason, ended tomorrow, the fact that we got to meet so many wonderful people, like Mate and Bogey from Hungary.
Oh, my God.
We've talked with you twice now, and Steve Coker, who did Dex Dixon, like, we're going to be talking with him again very soon.
Yeah.
And I've, again, like, first name basis.
John Garcia.
John Garcia.
Can we not forget? He always gets a shout out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, okay. Like,
I love his balls. It,
honestly.
Out of context. And I just love saying
it. And his wood. And
I play with his balls the all the time.
Honestly, though, if it weren't for John, we never would have done this. No, we never would have gotten to talk to you or Steve or anybody. We never would have done this. We just would have gone back to playing the games.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd be nearly as ridiculous as we are.
No, I don't know.
But I think our level of... That's what brings it to the listeners.
That was.
Because we're the goofballs, and people like the goofballs.
Like that really was the episode
where...
You can
laugh at it, it's cool. As long as people are listening, I don't care. Yeah. Like,
well, the Table Golf Association, and it was actually you two... are the reason why we're not a family-friendly podcast anymore.
That's right, and I just kept up the torch because I have the mouth of a sailor.
Yep. Listen. Dan and I tried. Right. For once, Dan actually tried to be a potty mouth.
I reined it back really hard.
The number of times that you say hole, strokes, wood, and balls in a game review, and these two, Shannon
seven
and Angie,
inches. What else are you going to say?
Wait, there was 10 inches.
Even John Garcia knew.
No, that was a different episode. That was later when we interviewed him.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what?
I said,
fuck it. I'm just filter
then,
gone.
Then we just lean into it, and the podcast hasn't been the same since.
No.
Neither have we, quite honestly.
No, I wouldn't say I'm still the same. I'm now more comfortable in showing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but you should be these days. I mean, there's no reason to hold back. I mean, you know, that's the thing is like the whole world is like, overly judgmental anyway.
Yeah. Well, see, look,
but I think the podcast has to find itself, right? Like, so you tried to be like the super professional, but that's not us.
No,
you know?
So when I worked at Warner Brothers, I was a tour guide at Warner Brothers for a couple of years, and I had a manager tour. He took my tour and he was like, yeah, so it just seems too much like the Dan Show. Like, fuck you. Yes, it is the Dan Show, you jackass. Like, they've literally paid to have me give them a tour. What the fuck do you think I was going to do? Act like a jackass and go, oh, yeah, if you look here, this is where he did this. Oh, look over your left, this is where he did this. Like, that's fucking boring. Nobody wants that.
You want a storyteller.
You want a storyteller. Yeah. You want somebody that's going to engage and make you laugh and have fun with you. Yeah. I had people send in reviews online, and my favorite one is still the Canadian couple who said, we had a great time, Dan was awesome, said all these really nice things, and at the end it said, thanks, Batman. I went, fuck yes!
But I think the greatest irony of this entire podcast, our triumvirate, if you will, because we have three different podcasts, right. Is... PJ wanted to start it because our D&D games were so unhinged. And so Danger and Dice was actually the origination of the podcast.
Because, like, we'd play these D&D games, and our friend Matt, he would just constantly yell out, like, why are we not recording this?
And that gave PJ the idea.
Yeah.
And out of
that
our
the Adventure Zone podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the podcast, it's... I mean, if anyone wants to, it's hilarious. I love our
Danger and Dice.
Ours.
I think you're talking about Adventure Zone.
But like, as Peter says, it's a little gem that no one knows about, but no one listens to that because the community is so influxed by like Adventure Zone, all these different D&D podcasts.
Well, and the first couple episodes are again hard to listen to. We are new to the tech and all that.
But like from that, Games Overboard became what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And Well House became what it is. So it's kind of cool to see this growth from a kernel of an idea to what we have now, the extrapolation.
Yeah.
Yes, now it's a full popcorn.
And Sophie hasn't eaten it, thank God.
Yeah.
And like, the free merch we get to like use, you know, we're sitting on like round free merch or things that we bought ourselves, but like, you know, the learning the tech, I've learned so much this year about tech that I didn't know before.
Yep.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And hey, we're like this close to 20,000 views right now. So another
we're at like
18,000, giveaway.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's another giveaway. So we're gonna have to start doing giveaways like every 50,000, which is like that's good, right? Like it's amazing that's happening. Mm-hmm. We actually added some stuff to our tax return, hoping like we could just start claiming the podcast now. Because like, you know, the funding has been like by PJ and me a lot of the time because he'll go, I want to buy this. All right, fine, whatever. Like here's the Best Buy card. Like I don't care because I need it too for Well House, right?
Right.
Yeah, hopefully exactly. It is. That's the dream. So it's kind of crazy that like a year ago we weren't writing off anything. You know, we were still doing it, but we weren't writing off, and now we're like, okay, we probably start could do that.
Yeah, we can try that.
My cell phone. Right off. Internet. Right off.
Fun fact: you can't do that as a teacher. Like if I could. There's a cutoff. It's only $250 that you can do on your taxes as a teacher.
Used to be $500.
I do our taxes. My wife's in education as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, every year it just eats me up because of course we spend thousands of dollars.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah.
That you need for a classroom and you know for all the things, all their supplies. And of course, you know, here's the government that goes, hey, $250. You shouldn't spend any more than that. Like, come on, guys.
What are you doing? You're spoiling these kids. They need to learn how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
We only gave them $5.
You're supposed to make something out of nothing. You're teachers.
Rub two sticks together and see what happens.
That's right. That's how we made fire. Hold on. Give me my lighter.
Right?
So, yeah, I made fire.
So I wish I could put off my clothes, you know, that I have to wear because I can't wear jeans or sweatpants to work.
Oh, right off. Right off.
What did I say?
Put off.
No, I said.
Like, why are you taking off your clothes?
Oh, did she say put off?
She said put off.
It is like 1 o'clock, okay? We're lucky I'm still talking. It is. It's 1:06. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm done. I'm leaving.
That was fun.
The nice thing is with these, I can go, bye, Dan. And it sounds like I'm running away. I'm really not. I love that. And I come, I'm back again.
Doppler effects.
That's right. That's right.
So good. I had no idea this was so advanced.
For me, it is. Okay.
Well, yeah, I try the Doppler effect, but you wouldn't hear any difference. My voice is just fucking loud.
Right. I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. I generally host events and stuff, and I don't need a mic. Everybody, I've hosted events to like 500 plus people in a single room.
Yes.
No mic, no microphone, no nothing.
Yeah. Right? I grew up on stage. I rarely had a microphone.
Right there with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never had mics. Now all the kids have mics on
stage. Yeah, now they're going, thank you very much. And you're going,
project.
What the fuck did that kid just say? He has a microphone and I still can't speak louder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we devolved into complaining about actors.
Oh, I could do that all night. First complaint is me. This guy, he's an asshole.
He's overly dramatic.
What? No.
He's full of himself.
But you guys, I'm going
home. His charisma is there. Yeah. Could he hear that?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
It just had to.
I'm surprised we didn't use the one with me.
I know.
I still have it.
Oh, do you?
Oh, hell yeah. I saved it.
Puppers.
Hey, puppers!
Oh, I'm ready to fall asleep, Daddy. Just keep
so, one last minor question.
Yeah.
I keep seeing, on the board, the 3D mountains, and they're painted.
Yes.
Do they come painted?
They will not come painted. I have bad news for you on that. My wife actually painted the mountains herself for the prototypes.
They look so cool.
Unless she's going to be painting, you know, 100,000 mountains by herself, I'm not sure I can offer that.
Can we take? Will she take special requests?
Sure.
We'll donate to the teaching fund.
All right.
Hey, PJ.
And with episode's over.
Let's do that again. That was me when I smacked my elbow off the table.
In
this current week's episode, yeah.
I overlaid you and the goat screen on top of...
So we haven't listened to it yet,
yeah.
So...
Fantastic. Love it.
Anyway, it was lovely seeing you, and of course, River.
Yes.
Yes.
Jason Blake, everyone. Seismic, tentatively scheduled to release May 29th.
Tentatively, yes.
On GameFound. So keep an eye out for that, everyone. This is not a game you want
to
miss.
We're going to post it to our Facebook page, our tweet page.
Tweet page.
That's what I'm calling it. I refuse to call it X page.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us tonight.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
We're like this normally.
We are.
They are, yeah. Well, he knows. I mean, you know, you listen to it.
Has anyone in this family ever seen a chicken?
No.
Tell your wife, thank you for being a teacher.
Absolutely. All right, she's... And thank you to you guys all.
Well, yes.
I'm almost out. No, okay.
I would like to say to you, thank you for being a friend.
That's a good song. And with that, we put the music in, we overlay the episodes.
Yep.